Mike Mullis is a site selection consultant who has spent 25 years helping global corporations such as Toyota pick the places where they will build major projects. He says some companies, particularly in manufacturing, will perk up when they hear the words right to work. However, that doesn't mean businesses will come flocking to a state.
The thing that is misunderstood by many people is that right to work does not guarantee you projects. It simply guarantees you more opportunity.
He says other factors are more important, such as the skill of the workforce, infrastructure, and transportation. Mullis supports right to work, but he notes many oversimplify its connection to workplace growth. The Supreme Court ruled in the 1970s that an employee cannot be forced to join a union as a condition of employment. Right-to-work laws, which are decided on a state-by-state basis, often go a step further. They eliminate the requirement for non-union workers to pay what are called fair share fees. Unions strongly object to that, as we'll hear in a moment. But University of Kentucky economist Kenneth Trosky says such laws can help attract businesses.
That's essentially what the research shows, is that when plants become unionized, you see a decline in productivity.
Trosky says businesses like the promise of flexible workplace schedules and greater productivity.
It sends a signal to businesses that, hey, the state, you know, as a state, we are trying to make ourselves more open and friendly and as flexible as possible for businesses that want to locate here in an attempt to sort of basically attract those businesses and the jobs that come with them.
He says new businesses that locate in right-to-work states are competing for the same skilled workers, so even if wages lower, it would not be as dramatic as some opponents of the law say. Ross Eisenbray is vice president of the Economic Policy Institute, a nonprofit think tank focused on the needs of middle and low-income workers. He says right-to-work has never been shown to make a difference in employment growth. Eisenbray is skeptical of claims that right-to-work laws do much to attract new business.
Corporate CEOs who answer surveys about what are the factors that determine where they locate don't even have right-to-work in the top 10 factors that influence their decisions.
Eisenbray points to economic evidence showing that right-to-work laws come at a cost in the form of weaker unions and lower wages. In West Virginia, a group of unions is suing the state over its new right-to-work law. A judge put a stay on the law shortly after it was signed last year. Ken Hall is general secretary treasurer with the Teamsters, one of the unions involved in the lawsuit.
If this was good for workers, why is it that like 8 of the 10 states with the lowest per capita income are right-to-work states?
Hall says that right-to-work laws mean unions don't have the option of collecting money from non-members, but the unions are still responsible for collective bargaining for those employees and defending them in the event of grievances. Hall says that weakens unions and can hurt workers more than it helps a region generate new business.
That's part of the problem here, that it's been so much dishonesty. I mean, put the facts out there and then let the people decide.
The unions expect a decision on their challenge to West Virginia's law in a couple of weeks. Kentucky is just beginning to implement its new right-to-work law as Ohio is reviving its debate on the issue. The real effect of right-to-work in this region, once dominated by union labor, remains to be seen. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Becca Schimmel in Bowling Green, Kentucky.